Durgarotic.com.
Welcome, travelers, to the fringes of reality, where the strange and mysterious meet, and the thin veil between fact and fiction is torn. Welcome to the Forbidden Frontier.
Thank you. You lovely audience, you. What's up? We're back.
Yeah.
Dallas.
We're here.
Some of us are still in Dallas, but some of us are back. Some of us never went. It was great. Had a good time at the at the meetup. It's okay.
You want to watch? Missed you.
We missed people, you so much.
Thanks,
guys. We met a lot of wonderful people, and a lot of people like the show. They told me.
I love hearing that.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Freaking love hearing that because I love this show. This one's going to be kind of fun because it's going to be a smorgasbord, a hodgepodge.
Plethora of topics.
A plethora. Of topics.
An aperitif, if you will.
Oh,
what's an aperitif?
Ooh, I like that. Oh, wow.
I know, it sounds good, right?
Yeah.
I know.
He's like, I'm in Europe.
Yeah, it was great seeing everybody. It was a ton of fun. I can't wait to talk about this stuff. Can't wait for next week when we're going to be in Cosmic Summit.
Yeah.
Those awesome panelists. It just seems to be getting larger and larger every year. I looked at last year's lineup of speakers and this year's, and it's like doubled. It's like doubled in speakers. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun.
So we're going to go over some topics that the speakers may talk about or have talked about in the past. And there's a lot of speakers, so we're just going to get to some of them. My focus is going to be Ben's from Uncharted X, his last video on old are the pyramids? How old are some of the structures in Giza? Because he makes a compelling argument about erosion that goes beyond the Sphinx with limestone blocks that were encased in granite for a long time. And if you look at the stones, this is what I think about some of the stuff in South America, too, that we're going to check out in Peru. Shit just looks old. And especially like granite and basalt, like don't erode. They erode, but it takes thousands of years.
Yeah.
So we are talking about limestone, which does erode it, but it depends on the limestone. But we'll get into it because it's pretty fascinating. I also rewatched Randall's old special from 1997, Fire from the Sky, not Fire in the Sky, which is also very fucking good. You should
watch.
That's
the movie though, right? That's
the movie about Travis Walton. This is about the fire in Peshtigo. Is that how you pronounce it? In Wisconsin. But there was also multiple fires at the same time. Mm. And it was right around the time of the Great Chicago Fire. And Randall's theory was, well, it came from above. Little meteor fragments started it. And then it gets into like what can happen to us if a meteor falls and stuff. So it's pretty cool. Not PepsiCo, but you can say PepsiCo if you want.
Just as bad.
It was a bad fire. We'll go over. It's the worst fire as far as death toll in American history.
Like I heard about it a lot growing up in Chicago.
That's right.
It's still talked about. You know, it's just kind of like one of those things that ever so often it'll just come up randomly. Or at least it did in the early 90s when I was in school in Chicago.
And Luke Caverns covered some Olmec stuff on how they transported the heads and how he doesn't think they did it. The academic point of view is wrong. And he offers another point of view, which I think is pretty good. And then Megalithomania went over an old Olmec site, which was pretty cool.
Which was really cool the way the nature had kind of recolonized the area. They like grew over everything. There was an interesting photo on Twitter that I saw that was from Louisiana, in just the South. And in Louisiana, there is this vine that is taking over everything. It just grows on all the trees and all the plants and all the structures. And this was just 100 years ago that this was introduced into the area, and it's gone haywire. So just in 100 years, you can cover everything up with fauna, flora, I mean. So to think,
why not a little bit of both?
Thousands, mm-hmm. You know,
fauna. Flora.
A little flora and fauna. Fauna. The flora goes over. The fauna aperitif. Poops on it. Aperitif.
Plethora.
Exactly.
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord of fauna. Hmm. How's it going, Garrett?
Hey, it's going. I just want to remind everybody, not everything that's printed onto things is factual. So if you see any of these around... This was given to me at the meetup.
Is that a sticker?
Oh my!
It's not
gosh.
A sticker. It's actually leatherwork. Leatherwork.
Oh wow!
Oh, interesting.
It's real then.
Yeah, he gave me this patch. It's like I could sew it into something, but I will.
Oh, that's
because
amazing.
It's fake.
You should. You should. That's pretty badass.
Also, I want to remind. I want to see you guys. I was telling the truth. I didn't lose the shirt. I just misplaced it. Okay, I just didn't know where it was.
So. Yep. It's true.
I'm ready for Cosmic Summit.
We can't make fun of him anymore, chat.
Yeah,
for the shirt. For the shirt. I wasn't done, Gary. for the shirt.
You'd be surprised how much I hear that. What's up, Adam?
Well, yeah, hey, great. Great segue. What's up, everyone? It's good to be here. I've been having a blast. I watching this stuff is just more interesting to me than UFO things. Not that I don't like the UFO stuff, but man, to me, this stuff is tangible. It's there. We could see these megaliths, you know, these ancient sites, and we could do the math on them. We can do, you know, the way that Ben was breaking down the erosion rate, you know, bringing back Randall Carlson's work from years ago, just like how long it would take. And they're like, oh yeah, this would take 12,000 years just to do that. It's like, oh, okay. So it's more than 12,000 years old, obviously. And it's crazy to me how people seem to just ignore that. That's the evidence is right there in our face that it's older than we think it is. And people are like, no, 5,000 years ago, 4,500, that's what's been established, that's when it was built. Yeah, no.
I don't think so. Jimmy from Bright Insight has been on a little tear on Twitter. But he's talking about covering up ancient sites. And there's an argument to be made that you're trying to preserve them maybe for later, but some archaeologists are, and I just don't see a logical reason for this, are covering up sites.
It doesn't make sense.
Them forever. It doesn't make sense at all.
In his video, they dug out this area under the Giza Plateau just to see what was like under that, the sand, and they filled it back in. Like they uncovered more of the pyramid. But then they filled it back in. Like, what? Why would you do that? Why would you not just... And they manually filled it back in. It wasn't like they just left it and it naturally filled back in over time. Like, they manually filled it back in. So it's just strange to me why they would do that when it doesn't seem to be... it doesn't seem to be damaging any of the artifacts or the site to leave it open for people to see.
Well, they've been doing that for years. Zahuas, he dug a hole down into the chamber underneath the Sphinx. Yeah. Remember this? And then covered it up or resealed that hole. And it's like, whoa, what'd you find down there? Like, well, can you get a camera down into that chamber? What was in that chamber? What'd you find? Why drill that hole? What did they find? He just probably put it in his home vault.
I mean, that's probably the most likely answer, allegedly, just my opinion, but
Guy's really suspicious. The way he does stuff, the way he investigates things is just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeologists can absolutely have their opinions and stick to their narratives if they want, but like anything they find, there's no reason to hide that information. Mm-hmm. None. Zero.
Ben's video, he dug, not Ben, Awas, dug a hole down and found red granite, which confirmed that it was man-made that far down. It was like, I don't remember the exact number. It was like 20 feet down or something, but it was man-made. So there's something down there that was built up to this point. And then they just kind of left the site to deteriorate. We've confirmed that there's man-made material down there. Why are we not excavating all of the sand around this and figuring out what's down there?
Money. It's money, obviously. Who's going to pay for that?
Yeah. You
know? I don't know. All of the tourists that go there and pay thousands and thousands of dollars to tour it every single day.
Yeah, that's... That money is already allotted to things already. Uh-huh. I don't know what they are, but they're not. It's not more research. I'll tell you that.
It's not.
Yeah,
and you could do ground penetrating radar. Thanks, Don. That's a great idea. You could do that too. Why are we not doing
again?
That?
Money. Yeah, there's nothing in it for them. What people are already going, thousands of people a day are already going to Egypt. What's another thing they find? You know, it's not going to increase the amount of people, maybe, but why? It's not, it won't make that big of a difference to the amount of money going in, I think. Then that's probably why they're doing it, because there's no reason to.
Now, I would argue that if they wouldn't stick to their dogma so much, they would make more money.
Yeah.
A lot
probably.
More money.
I mean, they'd have to change all of what they're teaching.
Yep.
Right? I mean, Ben talks about the video that you have to sit through when going. I think it's the quarry, the Aswan quarry. When you go to visit that, you know, they sit you down and there's this video playing about teaching you about the copper tools that they use. And he's like, this is such a joke because there's no way they use copper tools. Like if you, you or dolerite, you know, rock hammers, go pick up whatever and go ahead and try to do anything. It's not going to work. It's hilarious.
Right. I love the image of guys cutting giant rocks with loincloths on, you know, and barefoot. A lot of toes must have been lost. There's a lot of safety violations going on.
We need OSHA.
We need OSHA. We need
it
OSHA.
It helps fill the mortar faster.
Right. Hello. Exude goo.
Hi. Sorry, there's a little noise on the side, but I am excited for Cosmic Summit. And hopefully to see some new information, because I feel like there's so much just based on the videos I've watched. I'm really excited about the Darren Kyu. I don't know if I said that right. Johanna's videos are very fun.
Yeah.
Very fun. I want to go there. I want to go there.
Gonna add it to the list.
We might have an it's been mentioned by Graham. The explanation for Darren Kyu is, if I said it right, is the sky was on fire. Everything was on fire. It wasn't just raiders. I think people went underground because that was the only place they wouldn't burn, from either Robert Schock's theory or the comet theory or whatever. It was to get away from what was 1,000 years of hell. You know, in that little time between the Younger Dryas, where temperatures were fucking cold, there was floods, and there was the comet theory guys think there's a possibility that it kind of rained down over a period of time. So we had some big ones at first, but then over the years, more comets were raining down. So that would probably inspire people to dig a hole. Don't you think
that would make the most sense? Give them enough time. Yeah. If it was this kind of meteor shower event that happened every year around the same season, they would be like, okay, well, this happens every single year. Let's start going underground because this sucks. Burning all of our crops, it's killing all of our animals. We need to go.
Yeah, the underground cities they found in Turkey, the supposed underground city in the Grand Canyon, which I would love to go look around there.
Hell yeah.
Some of the things over there don't make sense. I've been to the Grand Canyon multiple times in my life. It's freaking amazing. But
there's a lot of cool stuff around us. There's cart ruts in Austin.
Yep.
In Austin.
Yes. Yeah. So Wandering Wolf told us about that. I'm going to go check them out.
Right.
And there's footprints in Texas. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. We can't get to the footprints in White Sands, New Mexico, although I want to find the location and just go there. See what happens.
Is it on private land?
It's on private land, I think.
Mm. Hey, if you own that land, let us know.
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Holla.
Holla. Holla. Holla.
Holla at your boy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of mammoth stuff up here. We just passed like outside of Waco. It was like the inner world or whatever.
Wait, really?
Oh yeah, the cave system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. I wanna go.
Yeah. Maybe we can still go. Let's start. What do you want to start with?
What? We could go Olmec City.
Let's go Olmec.
Olmec.
We're at our ancient civilization buffet.
We got our plate.
We will choose Olmec. What are you skipping though? What's the peas of the ancient civilizations? I don't know. I eat peas. They're good, but
not mushy ones.
Not mushy ones.
Hmm.
It depends.
They're
on
all mushy,
spice.
Aren't they?
Nah,
that's true. They are kind of mushy. There's not a good version of peas. I don't think.
This is Hugh Newman's video.
Hugh Newman's video. Yeah, this was cool.
After the show, I'll link all these videos in the description, by the way, to give all these people
look at that.
Please subscribe to their channel. Megalithomania is the channel I've been watching forever. Great content. Great 12, 13-minute videos.
He's great live as well.
Yeah, he's really good live. Good. Freaking drones, man. Drone cameras are like the greatest invention ever. So
there's mine
right
there.
Look at this complex. So this is a road, just to give you scale. This is the complex.
Yeah, look at that thing.
Massive, absolutely massive.
That's just gone
grown
too.
Over. Yeah, swallowed
he's
up
inside of it right now. You can see some of the pyramids and whatnot. And he found this in the middle of the complex.
Yeah,
Lost Olmec City.
So, Hugh will be at the show. By the way.
I hope he does. I hope he does his panel on this because the Olmec in South America and Central America.
Pause it.
Yeah. One of the most fascinating things to me.
Yeah,
it's right there on the surface, dude. It's right there. Yep. Everything's grown over it, but we can still sense like these locations, and it just needs to be uncovered.
Well, as Luke stated in his video, they are a culture kind of like Egypt that just sprang up out of nowhere with a language and you know, their headdress. So he made a point to say there's a couple of headdresses. Luke was showing Olmec stuff that you haven't seen, and there's one with a headdress that looks like an Egyptian headdress. And cool. You know, by the way, they've never found an Egyptian headdress. They've never found one, and they've never found like the Olmec helmet or whatever the hell it is.
I've only seen depictions of it, which I didn't know until I watched that video. Was it Luke's video that he talked about that? I've been watching a lot of this stuff, so I can't remember which one it was. But yeah, like I didn't know that they've never actually found one of those. It's such an iconic thing of Egypt, those headdresses.
Yeah.
But to never have actually found one is wild.
Is wild. There's probably a couple at Zalia Wass's house and some Russian oligarch who probably has like the sword of Alexander and
my thing about covenant. The Olmec South American cultures that Luke is talking specifically is how prevalent these temples are. When you watch one of Luke's videos of him walking through a forest, he's like, There's a temple. You could tell that this was a temple right here. You know, it's overgrown, but if you look at the way that it's shaped and let's go closer. Yep, look, here's the stones. Let me just, you know, show up. Oh, there we go. And you could see the stones, and then you start to see it like the way that he describes it. And it really is all over the place. So you can imagine how sprawling these cities of temples were, at least in the Yucatan area where Luke is more, well, that's where his videos were, but I'm sure it's all over the place, you know?
And let's not forget, these had to be planned. So they had to be planned.
Right.
With measurement, alignment, with no knowledge of numbers or math. So they're just like licking their finger, looking at the horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Put a stone where that right goat there. Is.
Yep.
That works.
I don't know why they're licking their finger, but they just are. Okay.
Whoops. Everything that fell helps into with place.
The math.
It helped. It helped with the math that they hadn't mm-hmm. invented yet. But I want to check out places like this. And
that stony comes across. It's like just laying in the middle of this field.
Uh huh. And look at the cuts on it.
Beautifully cut. Super straight.
What do you think that was?
Well, he said it looks kind of like a coffer of some sort, or maybe like an altar that you'd put stuff inside of. But yeah, I don't know. There seems to be some sort of, it's not all here.
Everything's a temple or an altar or...
That's true. That's just where they keep all of their...
Why is it by itself in the middle of nothing?
That's the question. And why isn't it covered up?
What I first thought. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, why is this here?
It's been here for a while. There's like cobwebs and stuff. So it's not like somebody just walked up here and put it here. But like, that is weird that it's not covered like everything else.
Like everything else.
Do you ever think about who's the last person to leave one of these places? Like, who's the holdout? Right. Who stays, and stays and just, you know, do they all abandon it once? Or was it a cataclysm?
I think so. I think that's what happened.
I think that's what happened to a lot of sites. When we get to the Egypt stuff, it looks like Egypt was fucked up at one point.
Multiple times. Yeah.
Well, it was with their, you know, space war with the Atlanteans. Everybody knows that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I believe it more every day.
I'm starting to.
The pyramid.
Yeah.
Just covered up. How much stuff do we not know about? That's the thing. It's, you know, Graham in his debate with Dibble Smith or whatever the fuck his name is.
wasn't it Flint Dibble or something?
Flint Dribble?
Flint
Dribble, I thought.
Right, do your Flint. Impression. Flint. Your impression.
Dibble.
Garrett.
My name is Flint Dibble. I'm an archaeologist. I focus on different types of grain.
Poorly funded archaeologist.
I would like more money. It would be great if I could have some more money. Graham, you're a racist. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. That wasn't me.
And I also you just support racist.
Yeah, you just.
I also haven't turned my head in 10 years.
Yeah, I I forgot about that part. I do not take hats off, so I wear my headphones like this.
I also don't like eye contact.
Yeah,
please don't look at me in the eye.
I'm constantly uncomfortable and lying, so it makes it hard to look at you in the eye.
You notice he really didn't like looking at Graham.
Ever.
He would give him like the side eye, like, oh Graham, like you know, this is what you did, and then he'd actually like look away from him as he looked back.
Yeah,
Zeus. Just like, why are you being so weird?
I know.
Body language. I need a body language expert. I mean, I don't, because I could clearly tell he's full of bullshit. But
I know someone I can hook you up.
Be nice to.
Oh, is it?
He's actually hilarious.
Is it the guy on Twitter? I'm going to narrow
yes.
it down.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The guy on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
The body language guy. Yeah,
it's
literally good. in his name. So
in his name.
Yeah. He's fantastic. And he's hilarious.
That. That's awesome.
Yeah. He's cool.
I could stop this was myself cool. when it came out. I'm like, oh shit, the guy on Twitter.
That's yeah, really that one guy. that one dude.
And you know what? I knew exactly who you were talking about.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
Hugh Newman does a lot of these great on the site kind of walkthroughs. He did another one at Göbekli Tepe at night. That was a cool one because you usually see Göbekli Tepe in the daytime. So it was cool to kind of see the night sky over it. So he does a ton of these great watches. I turned it on while I was cleaning my room I was just like, oh, this is cool. While he's talking about it. And while we're doing, I guess we're doing the Olmecs. You want to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? What? You also has a couple awesome books that.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Getting. They're freaking awesome.
Available on Amazon. And he is also a really good speaker. We go to these events a lot and I love the information so I can sit through them, but there's a lot of dry speakers. Hugh's funny in a British way. So he's good. Jenna Jameson's pretty good too.
Jenna, again? Again?
Johanna. Johanna.
Dude, porn rots the brain. Man, that's
dude. I thought it was drugs.
Dude, everybody knew who Jenna Jameson was from also. My generation, okay? Like, everybody.
Okay. I mean, we know who she is. Yeah. It's we're Johanna, in a different generation. We know who that is.
Uh-huh. Johanna's adorable. She is a very good speaker. She was like the MC, and she's a great.
I would like to have her on the show sometime. So stop calling her Jenna Jameson.
She's got a good sense of humor, right?
It's true. Right, I think she does. Yeah.
I think she's got a good sense of humor and understands that, you know, I'm retarded.
I bet she'd be like, "That's not the first time I've heard that."
Oh shit!
Olmec heads.
Somebody.
Oh yeah.
These things are fascinating. They have so many different types of facial features
all
across these heads. It's a very fascinating thing. I'm loving Luke Cavern's content. I like that he's put out more videos recently, and he has a great take on it because he's taking it kind of more of an academic, because he does have a degree in anthropology.
Yeah.
He's looking at it from an academic point of view and trying to be like, look, like, there is aspects of this of our history that we do not understand and that has not been fully explained.
Yeah.
And I think we should be asking those questions. And he's kind of like this. I love this middleman between the alt history stuff and
I don't know.
Loved that show. That show was awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I like about what Luke's been doing too is like he did a whole breakdown of the Luke or the Flint Dibble. Yeah. Versus
Dribble's
Graham.
Good. Flint Dribble.
I don't know. Whatever. The Flint guy.
Excuse
Dribble,
me?
Dribble.
Sorry.
Yeah, Dribble Man. And, you know, and he broke down each argument and kind of looked it up, like Garrett said, from an academic side of things. So it was interesting to see a little bit of a different perspective. I actually watched some of Luke's videos about that before I even watched the video of the interview itself. So I kind of had a little, you know, insider knowledge of what they were talking about from Luke, and he did a great breakdown on that. So it's cool. I really like Luke's content as well.
Yeah. And just imagine if you had the, you know, from the academic side and say Graham side, if you met in the middle, it's still extraordinary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like that's what Luke's trying to do.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, all right, I'm going to come at it with the academic side with the stuff that I've learned. And then, you know, he'll pull out a book and be like, I read this, you know, and in this book, it says this, but in this book, and he busts out another, he's got all these like books, you know, he's like, he's learned, you know, he's got all this knowledge about different cross sections of ancient things. And it's fantastic. So,
yeah, the few times that we've had him on here, he's very knowledgeable about the subject. He knows, like you just said, he'll pull out that book and be like, this is the reference right here. So he's bringing that aspect of academia that I do respect the guys that take the time to learn these topics from like inside and out, and taking away that kind of assholery that academia has where they think, I'm up on this chair and I know more than you and you can't possibly have any questions that I haven't already thought, you know, like he's like, no, yeah, maybe there are some things that we don't know. He's even done breakdowns of other alt history people that have gone on podcasts and kind of gone, okay, well, that doesn't quite make sense, but this does make sense, and I like how he says this, or this doesn't make any, you know, I love that. Like, I want to, because I'm looking for truth. I'm not looking for the narrative that either side, like academia or the alt truth people are trying to sell. I want to know what really happened.
The truth.
But the truth. So he's trying to get there, and that's what I respect.
I mean, the difference there, though, I feel, is the alternate truth people are the ones that are looking for what the truth is, right? I mean, I heard Luke did a video breaking down, what is the guy's name that was on Joe Rogan? Billy Carson.
Billy Carson.
Right? Right. Yeah. Cool. I'm halfway through the interview. It's cool, right? He's saying a lot of grand things that I've never even heard of, like how we're merging with the it's the Milky Way galaxy is actually right now merging with a different galaxy, and we're like learning about this now. That's what he was claiming.
Well,
like that's a pretty big thing to claim.
Our solar system is entering like a cloud right now.
Well, supposedly, according to Billy, we're actually right in the middle between the Milky Way galaxy and this other galaxy. Like we're right in the center. So we're like, we're not actually. And that I don't even think, I think he said we're not even from the Milky Way galaxy. Not Andromeda. No, that's another billion years, but we're approaching that. But that's new to me.
We'll never catch up with Andromeda because it's going at the same speed. We're like Milky Way.
I thought we're at a direct collision course.
No, that's that we were like we will never contact other galaxies because they're moving as fast as we're moving.
So it'd be impossible. So
there are collisions that happen though, and maybe I'm wrong on that one, but that's I've heard a lot of lectures. I mix up a lot of stuff, but
yeah, it's interesting though.
No, Billy Carson has been he's on the Gaia network.
Yeah, Gaia.
But he gets out there. He gets out there, and I've heard
Billy before. Love to have you on the show.
Yeah, come on the show. On the show. Hell yeah.
To go back to Luke's breakdown of it, he was really respectful of Billy and going like, oh, you know, I don't agree with everything he says, and this thing doesn't quite make sense, but he's like right on the money with this. So he's really respectful, which I respect, because it's easy, especially it seems to be in this field and on the internet particularly, it's easy to be like, oh, you don't agree with me, then I hate you and I'm going to destroy you. And now I everything you do, I'm going to stay all the negative pieces from and never say anything positive. So yeah, Luke's right on the money with that. He should keep doing that.
Yep. Just do his own thing. By the way, that is not Leslie Headland. Okay. That is not a statue of Leslie Headland. Somebody was mentioning that in the chat. It's a completely different show. We're not talking about pop culture. I understand the confusion though. Yeah, I do. So I'm with
it's
you.
Uncanny the likeness.
I'm with you. So they say people who have studied the Olmecs in the past that the heads look possibly African, Polynesian. Luke has stated that there are people in South America who do kind of resemble that, which is true, but there's also the Polynesian DNA that's not necessarily next to the Olmecs, but it's in the that they have found in the Amazon rainforest that dates back to 16,000 years ago, showing that somebody from Polynesia got on a boat and got to America at some point.
Mm-hmm. And they got busy.
And they got busy doing what humans do.
Like us animals.
Like the Discovery Channel. That's
you and me, baby.
Baby. Nothing but mammals.
That looks Polynesian to me. Yeah, the wide nose.
Yeah,
or lips.
Like not even Polynesian, maybe Southeastern Asia a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Which is
it's like someone punched Flawzilla in the face.
A little bit, yeah, just like flattened it.
It looks like Flawzilla. Okay, we wanted to say it, but now Adam
he's wearing a beanie. I'll say it. I pretend he's my friend.
He's like a face tattoo, like
yeah,
chiseled there.
Needs to react to rap.
Can
videos.
Someone add Flawed's facial tattoos onto this, please?
And a glizzy.
He wouldn't mind.
It's a baby as. Yeah, Flawed it could also be a baby as well.
That's too. Actually, it's as.
Yeah. No, not anymore.
No, right? I can't unsee that now.
No, these things are a trip. Because they found them buried all over the place. Costa Rica, right? That's where they started finding them, was Costa Rica. Yes. Correct me if I'm wrong. Or,
I believe so.
Or is it Guatemala? I can't remember. But so this ancient culture, which was highly advanced that Luke gets into, that had deities and a hierarchy and, you know, they have ball players. They had a sport. They played with rubber balls. Yep. You know, so that's not just like, hey, get up one morning, it's like, hey, that rubber tree over there, let's make a ball out of it. Throw it around.
What if this was like the Olmec Banksy And it's just like some stonemason who would go around and like find huge stones and be like, all right, yeah, that'd be a good head. And then makes it into a head and then like travels hundreds of miles to do another one. They're like, oh shit, the Banksy was here. Look, guys. And, you know, they all come and, you know, take drawings of the Olmec head they found because it was before cameras.
Sir, you are confusing this with Dodgeball, the ancient Chinese game.
But a lot of these Olmec heads are ball players. They are because he explains it in the video. The headdress that they have in some of them are the headdress that they would wear when they're playing the ball game. They would be like rulers, some of the heads. So it's like they revered these people. And I guess they
enough to wear it. Yeah. Okay.
What?
So it's like the
they're
Walter,
very heavy.
That's like the Walter Payton of whatever ball game was that. See, that's a later one. The interesting thing is this is
lower quality, right?
This is lower quality. This is them trying to mimic the older culture, which is proof of a degrading, not society, but like
a loss of knowledge
tries to present that most of the time we are, it's like the stock market. We're on a little, everything is just going up over time and it's not true. There are massive peaks and valleys, and the older stuff is better. How many times do we see that the older stuff is better, and the older stuff keeps getting older,
especially in Egypt?
Yeah,
Veracruz, Mexico is the first one found.
So, how were these carved, Garrett?
These were I don't know what the methodology, how they did them. I don't know what the tools that they used back then to do them. I don't actually know.
I don't know.
I would assume
copper tools.
Yeah, earlier than Bronze Age tools or stone tools. Like how would you do this? And the detail work on it is so high level. The symmetricality of it. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It was copper tools, guys. It was a copper saw.
Okay.
Chisels, copper chisels.
Somebody in the chat said they outsourced it. I don't think they did, but I mean, that's a good suggestion to the Atlanteans, maybe. 3D printer.
Yeah, they 3D printed it.
Well, I mean, that brings up an interesting point, though, 3D printing. I know it's not in the sense that we think, but you know, there's I can't think of his name off the top of my head. This guy on Twitter, he's I know so many layers here. No, this guy has been, and we've actually talked about it earlier on the show, like a month ago. He's basically making this slurry cement that is creating rocks that are indistinguishable from regular rocks that you'd find on the ground, right? He's making these little Easter Island heads, right? And it's the same composite, and it's made of this wood ash. And he actually just got this shipment of wood ash from Egypt. So he's actually really trying to attempt to make the same kind of stones that they used there. Because he's set on this idea that all these, you know, perfectly fit things were actually molded together in like a cement, but we don't recognize the properties of the cement that they use because of what we think of what cement is we know what cement is to us, but to them, what they made, we see it as just stone, right? Because they just made a stone that we now see it as a real natural stone that was created naturally that they must have cut. Because that's how we do things. So we're kind of set in our ways of how we would do it when they created this cement-like stuff. And that's how all these perfectly fit stoneworks that we've all seen, you know, Machu Picchu's filled with them, Peru. Right. I mean, almost every megalithic site has these. So it's interesting.
Like a high level of concrete to the point where it looks just like stone. You know, it's like,
yep, exactly.
Nature does the exact same thing. So there's a process to it. We just don't know what it is. But it's, I looked it up. they believe it's stone tools. They use stone tools, chisels to carve each one of these.
That's ridiculous to me.
I mean, hey, you know, if you have enough chisels
and enough whole time,
bag full of chisels and time, you could do it. But it just seems, very difficult.
Very difficult. I would say,
what is this here?
Stupidly impossible, but that's
that box there. What is this?
An altar?
Oh, so Luke thinks it was some sort of leader. I think I remember from his video.
Oh, right. It's like a chair.
It's on a block.
Yeah.
That is actually wrapped in ropes. So that was one of the theories of how they moved these blocks, was they would wrap it in hemp ropes and either slide it on. But the video's about like getting him across bodies of water, because the civilization had, there was multiple rivers crossing in a close area, which is, basically your highway. The civilization also built roads. They didn't know math or anything, by the way, and they had stone tools. But he thinks that this is some evidence that those little X's could possibly be hemp rope.
Didn't Luke say there was a custom that they would put like the leader of a town or the king on something and drag them from town to town?
Yes.
So this is like a stone statue version of that kind of methodology. And that you'd do the same thing with the heads, I guess. They're like multi-ton massive blogs. A lot of people.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people, manpower with barefoot, by the way.
They said they put them on rafts, right? Because there's so many. And he debunks it in the video because he talks about how many rivers there are in that area. And to put them on a raft or to like drag them only would be so hard, because you'd come up against a river and you'd come up another against a river. Like you'd have to build bridges and another set of rafts and another every time you hit a river to get to these different locations.
That's a little crazy. That's a little crazy. So they must have had just better stuff. Obviously, because they got it done. Now, Luke said they would pick the rock, the boulder, whatever, first, and then they'd finish it at its location. There's the road he was talking about.
That's an amazing road. That's like almost Roman level roads right there.
How old is that?
They look this good.
Olmec's date from, hang on.
So is this an Olmec road? I didn't watch this video.
Yes.
So okay.
1600 BC
to BC. Okay. Wow.
350 BC.
And it's still in this condition. Like you could drive cars on this motherfucker. Like this is good.
Yes. It's better than some of the roads here in Texas.
Dude, for real. They're not under construction.
No. So it's pretty crazy. So again, a civilization that just popped up out of nowhere. And they don't know much about it. They weren't really called the Olmecs, but
that's what they called them.
And obviously, some of their culture bled into cultures afterwards. So that was that influential to where it spawned other cultures over time, right? That broke off from whenever the Olmecs collapsed and do what cultures do. But where did they come from? Where did they get their knowledge? Is it knowledge from a mother culture or cultures that were more advanced at a time, not with spaceships, maybe?
Just more advanced,
more in tune with Earth. You know, that's Dibblesmith was that where, and others like, where are the plastics? Where are the bottles? The skeptic guy, Michael Dipshit, whatever his name is. The one who didn't know who Gobekli was.
The online atheist dude.
Yeah, one of them, dude. Whatever.
Where's all
that
the,
one guy?
All the
that one guy on Twitter,
yeah,
right?
That one guy on Twitter.
That one guy on Twitter. Michael Shermer.
Where's all the plastics? Yeah. Where's all the? Maybe they decided, hey, the plastics aren't very good.
Maybe they didn't invent plastic. Yeah.
Maybe they went a different direction. We're starting to find out that plastics are really bad for you.
Would you invent plastics and cranes and combustible engines if you could just levitate shit? Probably not. or move stuff you with sound. Or you're able to make some kind of concoction out of something in the jungle from one of the 250,000 plant species that breaks right. down rock or something like that. Because you had some wacky shaman sending all his acolytes out there to go and
test
die.
This and test that and test this and test that. Literally doing science in the jungle. And there's evidence of stuff like this that we can't explain now. What's the name of that? The soil. The soil that's like super
Terra preta.
We don't know how they made that, but we know that it's man-made. So they're doing science out there. So there was a level of advanced technologies that they owned that they just lost or forgot or whatever, you know.
Well, it was news to me that I heard that the Mayan had more books than Library of Alexandria, just like an incredible amount of books. You know, they spend all their time on making paper so that they continue making books. And then the Spanish burnt their books.
Conquistadors like what's up with all these books?
Like, y'all are smart? No.
Can't be having that, though.
No.
And that statue's actually that's actually Billy Bob Rodriguez. So he's the high scorer of the ball game in 1600 BC. He was like the first
drafted by the Dodgers.
Drafted by the sacrificers, you know. So there was like the sacrificers versus the moon gods, and quite a rivalry.
Oh, this was a cool discovery too. They recently discovered that they have canoes, that Olmecs had canoes. They thought they only had rafts, but they did discover that they had the technology of canoes.
Yes.
So I hope he does a little talk about the Olmecs. And continue his, because he went to the Yucatan Peninsula this year, didn't he? Because last year we talked to him. He was planning on going. Then he went after we had him on the show. So I hope he does his speech about that as well. Show some stuff that he found.
We'll find out.
Oh, hey, everyone in the chat, if you have questions for any of the panelists that are going to be attending, let us know. Send it to us, because we're going to be doing some interviews with them, asking our own questions. And if you have any, we'll ask them yours.
Yeah. What should they tag that as, X-Ray Girl?
I just put a Q&A, so if you have
just put any questions, for, like just put FF show Q&A, like Q&A, put that
just
in there.
I'm going to take a picture of this before we end the stream.
Oh, there you go.
Right now. Make sure you add the name of the person you want us to ask that to. Otherwise,
it'll
get confusing.
And if you have any later and you go, oh, I remember this, Twitter.
We're on DM Twitter. FF show official.
FF show official.
We're that guy on Twitter.
Let's get to Ben's Uncharted X.
Oh, wait. Before we move on, can you show that second post that I put in the private chat? This is from that guy on Twitter that I was referring to.
Okay.
Marcel, is that what his name was? Marcel Fodi. So he's been doing this geopolymer research. So he posted this video, or this picture. You can see, he just said, imagine the colossal effort when ancient Incas carved these textile imprints into the stones. It took them thousands of years to carve this, for sure. Mm-hmm. With wooden sticks and fingers, yeah. But you can kind of see,
it's got texture to it.
There's some texture that isn't erosion, right? It's some sort of something. Now, he thinks that this is just the way that they molded it on there. Like, they had something that was held up, probably textiles of some sort, to achieve. And that's why they have that perfect fit, you know, and it makes sense. If he's able to reproduce this, which if you follow him,
he's a good follower.
He's constantly trying to manipulate what he's using to create the perfect geopolymer, to create rocks that look like that, that are indistinguishable from what we find that we think they cut. But the more I see the examples of how they fit together, it makes more sense to me that it was poured. That it's like, how otherwise it's near inhuman this technology, which maybe it was, maybe they did have some sort of laser cutting device that could, you know, make these perfect cuts to fit a perfect spot. I don't know.
They definitely wanted to make things that would stand the test of time and that's go the extra certain. Effort. And as David Hunter Childress likes to point out, like, this is the hardest thing possible even today to do. So it must have been easy for them. Like, otherwise they already had wooden structures. Like, that was something they did. They put wood roofs on, or they could just use smaller stones. Why use the biggest stones in the most insane way to put them together? Well, because it stands the test of the time. We can still see them. Like, you know, when you compare that to what we're going to see in Giza of the limestone, which is just, you could barely tell it's a structure. Like, it used to be a structure. This stuff still looks great.
Well, and I don't know if this is like recent repairs or if this is also ancient. But if you go to
Sexy Woman.
Sexy Woman's like,
if you go to
more advanced stuff is at the bottom. More advanced is at the bottom. I kind of like it. It's like, have you ever been to the Capitol? Like, any of the Capitols, they're all built on these massive, like, granite. They have this outside facade granite blocks and stuff like that. If, say, we all died in a massive meteor strike and this stuff was left over and the wood that made the building itself burned away and it all crashed away and it was just those granite blocks. Then somebody came by later and went, whoa, these are really like, look at this. We could build something here because it's half built. And then they start trying to mimic that, but they can't get to that level. So they're just putting blocks next to it and they're kind of almost fashioning them in that way on top of it. That's exactly what it looks like happened at all these old ancient sites.
Yeah. And the bigger blocks that were made to stand the test of time and earthquakes, especially the way they were created, the polygonal, so many of these places are just wiped out. So it's not like there was a war, right? There was a war with a bunch of guys with spears, right? Bunch of spears, maybe some torches. What the hell would they have that would blow up something like that? Now there's earthquakes, okay, but they've stood bigger earthquakes. So it must have been a big fucking earthquake
recently.
Yeah,
it had to be a bigger earthquake than the massive earthquakes that have happened recently.
That have happened where they've been fine.
Yeah. Like massive enough to break the earth and make massive cracks in the earth. You guys remember that happened like a year or two ago?
Yeah.
They're still up. So it had to be bigger than that, right?
Grand Tour episode in Mongolia. They go by a giant crack in the earth from an earthquake in the 40s that's still there. And it goes for miles. It's this huge crack.
Cool.
So like, these things are pretty destructive.
Yeah.
So we go to Ben from Uncharted X. How old are these megaliths? He's been on the show. Luke's been on the show. Snake Bros have been on the show. They're going to be at the Cosmic Summit too.
And even in this picture, you could see these giant foundation stones, you know, the one to the right there. It's clear. He's standing. It's almost looks like it's 5 feet, 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
That thing's got to be 10, 20, 30 tons. Who knows how big it is? Like, there's obviously giant. I mean, look at Baalbek, right? Oh my goodness. Like, the size of those foundation stones that, you know, that they were used. The Romans built stuff on top of these massive foundation stones. I don't see those being crafted like a geopolymer, right? I mean, in Baalbek, we could see where they're quarrying these mass giant stones. So obviously there was some civilization that was able to cut them out and use them and move them. Most importantly, move them to a location. Right. That's the most interesting thing.
So stones you see.
This is cool, though.
The stones you see behind them at one time were like rectangles. They were squared. They were rectangles that had corners. And they are just completely eroded. And it's not necessarily like water erosion, right? And Ben gets into a lot of you watch this video. It's great. So watch all these people's videos because they get really into details on this. But the erosion is probably still sand, wind, but it would make these things insanely old.
Significantly older.
Like 80,000 years old. 60,000 years old.
If it was water, which is what everyone says they are, they're over 12,000 years old.
Yes.
That's what they established in this video.
Water is introduced in it, which it could be because 5,000 years ago, it rained there more. And Ben does mention that he's been to Cairo twice where it's rained. So it does rain there once in a while.
Yeah.
Once in a great while.
But he makes a point, though, that the amount of times it's rained, it's like, it's not doing what they're telling us it's doing.
Yeah, it wouldn't
do this. Not at all.
So he's, you know, what he's trying to point out is there's massive erosion in these stones that were once encased in granite. So the granite was removed to quarry or reuse or whatever, and this erosion happened. But if you compare it to smaller stones that were made of the same that are the same limestone on this site in other places, they're not as damaged as these stones are. Because they were, some were largely covered up by sand. Especially, what's the name of the temple now? The one it's
directly below it.
Directly below it. It's, and it was, at a lower altitude, right? So it was covered in sand and not even touched for many, many years. And how long does it take to cover something in sand? I mean, maybe it's not relatively that long because, again, sorry to go back to the Grand Tour, but when they were in Mauritania, they were showing the desert covering up this town slowly. So, like, that can happen probably generally pretty fast. But so he also points out, you were talking about geopolymer stuff. There's been a lot of cement work on the pyramids.
Annoyingly,
yes.
And he shows us a statue of
I don't know if it was
a guard, I believe, or something like that. It was just the head. That was all that was left. It was on the ground, and you could walk up to it and really see the sculpture. But they had taken it and lifted it 20 feet in the air and made their own body, like a facsimile of the body, and out of concrete. I'm like, I get what they're just trying to, like, rebuild what it would look like at that point. Completely make a new one, make a brand new one, and leave that one at ground level, because they added concrete to that. You're actual
posing.
Like, what are you doing? And then the granite paintings that they did to try and make it look like the concrete was granite, and it's, why are you doing this?
And it's great that he points out that was something that the Egyptians themselves did with their pottery, trying to make it look like granite, like the older, better pottery that Ben has been talking about for the last couple of 3 years, especially that one particular pot, which is, the more they cover that is insane, dude. I like when they put the light in it, and when he was on the show, he did that, and
so thin,
and it was so thin that you could see the light come through. It's like,
and you could see all the different types of stone in it.
Yes.
And then he goes into how much harder that would actually be to carve out as perfectly as it is, because of the different densities of each of the stone, the different hardness levels that each of the different types of stone that are within the jar, like, that just makes it even more incredible that it was carved to such precision.
So we see more erosion. Look at that. It's just,
look at how eroded that is.
Yeah. You might think that's ground. Those were stone that were brought over, again, limestone. So it's going to erode. Like, that's going to happen.
If you're interested in Egypt and stuff, you definitely got to check this video out, because they show a lot of the lesser known sites within the famous sites of the Great Pyramids, right? They're going, like, behind it. They went to a grave or I don't know if it was a grave site.
It was called the cemetery.
Right. But it's not a cemetery. It's just called that. But they're showing a lot of stones that weren't finished being shaped, but they were already in place. And I thought that was really cool to see that he was saying, like, yeah, that, oh yeah, they took the stone from the mountain and they put it in its place. They just hadn't finished the face of it, but they had to. Yeah, this is cool. This is the hole that they refilled. You said,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you can see more of these.
Sorry to cut you off there, yeah.
No, that's what was covering the pyramid. Snake Bros talked about this too. This is insane. So these used to be all in the bottom and it goes down much further, and they got down to the foundation stone, which they laid to, and it's polygonal, the foundation stone, which I found that out about a few years ago. I was like, what the fuck? So they laid these giant foundation stones and locked them in.
Amazing.
It's
amazing.
Yeah. It's like, how the fuck would they do that? And again, Ben was talking about this, like, hopefully, you know, modern archaeology and Egyptology really gets into like other disciplines like geology, and it's insane. It, like, you bring in stonemasons that when they start coming into, they're like, that this, we couldn't do this, or it would cost so much money and mm-hmm. it would take this much equipment to even do this now.
And look, you get the explanation, well, they had a lot of time in their hands. Well, it's like, yeah, they did have more time. They didn't have all the stuff we have today to take all of our time up. This is all they could focus on. But the massive amounts of food that you need to – the calorie cost of paying people to eat, to live, to be able to make something like this, it's massive. It's vast. That's what boggles my mind. It's like, yeah, sure, it could be slaves that did it, whatever. Doubt it, but that's what the conventional.
Still got to feed them.
You still got to feed them, dude. You got to feed them. It takes time. That is an insane amount of effort to put into this stuff. That's what amazes me about all this stuff.
There's ramps and, like, where did all of this stuff go? And another thing that Ben mentioned was all the metal tools that they have found in Egypt could fit in a room,
right? Yeah, right. So you're telling me that these metal tools are the ones that chiseled out every single one of these blocks and moved them. Can't find any of them. I would assume that they would get, like, melted down possibly later or stolen.
Yeah, no, not possibly. Well, I think that's absolutely what happened to a lot of the metal. Like, you think about the amount of wars that were fought and.
While these were around,
like, the cradle of civilization is in this area, right? I mean, thousands of years of human life have lived amongst this area. So you think any metal, that's why there's only one Antikythera mechanism, because, you know, I think it was either considered heretical by, you know, the powers that wanted it gone, or melted down and used to make other tools that were needed more than some mathematician device.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think a lot of these things, these metal tools that were to have been found, were just melted and turned into a sword or turned into a plow or whatever.
This here is what you were talking about, Adam, where it's finished here, but it's unfinished here. So when they moved them into place,
there's an even better, if you bounce around this, it might be right before this, where it shows the doorway, and on the, there, here it is, right here. So you could see that big, that large stone above. Over the doorway, yeah. Right there. They walk up to this doorway, and he goes, like, this doorway is finished, and you could see that they're actually they didn't finish the rest of this face. So, yeah, this is perfect. So you could see that door frame, and he was saying, like, yeah, right here, they finished this, and you can see the mountain itself, where they would have gone down to and got rid of the face, but they just never got around to doing that. So,
you can see it right here. So this is flattened where it would have been flattened, and then this is the side of the mountain where they quarried it out.
So this is actually goes against the whole geopolymer idea, because this is showing the process, which you rarely get to see that. This is another thing I thought really cool about this video, right? He says, like, that top corner piece right there was just plopped on there. and they would have then shaved it down to fit the corner piece, and then maybe would have shaved the inner side and then found pieces to fit that inner side, right? Because obviously they have that big corner piece and a big open gap between that giant stone that's above this door frame. So they would have had to fill that gap up. But you see the process here, which is really cool.
So they're just flattening it all the way across. How do they keep it so like symmetrical? It's
insane. Even with stones, right? Even with stones. And yeah, then if you look at their statue, the faces, right, and how perfectly symmetrical each side is, like, we can't do that. The human hand cannot make perfectly symmetrical shapes. So there it is.
Saw some of those in person.
We stood in front of this one in the middle right here.
Yeah, this one right here. That is it was really cool. Really cool to see. You could just touch it, dude. You could touch it.
Yeah, the Brits told
you weren't supposed to touch it.
You weren't supposed to, and we definitely never did.
We
didn't do it.
We're not the ugly Americans and touch the hell out of it. We Me Too'd that shit.
What are we gonna do? It's stone, bro.
What you gonna do? We gone now.
We gone now.
Can't get us.
Gone now, and I don't know if they'll welcome us back, but that was fun.
Yeah, it was. That was really weird. I'd love to spend like a whole nother day at that museum.
Just in the British Museum. I know, man. Yeah.
It's like really getting into all the different artifacts.
We only like saw a couple of sections too.
Yeah.
We like,
saw maybe 25% of that museum, if that. So I could have spent a lot more time. I wish we spent more time there than the freaking castle.
I know, dude. I could care less about the fucking royals.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's the way it goes.
It was cool to have Shad there, though. Kind of explained.
It was cool to have Shad there. It was cool to walk around the castle, especially with all the
armory was cool.
With all the drama going on with the royals, too. And they brought it up, which was kind of funny.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
But yeah. So later on, all right. So we've established erosion, right? So they break down like how long it would take, and he goes back to his interview with Randall Carlson, and this is what I love about Randall, because like his autism is strong and powerful, and I appreciate it.
Powerful autism.
It is powerful autism, and I mean that in the best way.
Best way.
He goes back to like papers written in the 1800s, and it's important that we do that because that research stands up. Because we're talking about erosion of limestone. So the Army Corps of Engineers put some limestone in the middle of a lake or a river to get ready for like a dam, right? So they went back and studied it 25 years later, and they like were able to go, well, with water rushing against this limestone. So 25 years, it's an inch, right?
I think that's half an inch.
Half an inch.
Over half an inch for 25 years. Yeah.
Of water constantly rushing against it.
Constantly. So it's like the most amount water can do essentially to the limestone. So they had that
data and compare it to the amount of erosion that is in that's at the plateau. And how many years? It was like thousands of years.
Well,
12,000 years.
One of them was 12,000 years.
Like,
yeah.
So that's like, incorporating rain, wind, sand. The other form of,
and that's not 12,000 years from now, right? It's like,
and we're just giving you like
the, it is
Clip Notes version
from here to there,
and well, and also
when there was lush.
It's important to know that 12,000 year mark is based on the data of water consistently going against this limestone and breaking it down as like against it solid every single second for 25 years.
That's what I'm saying, because it there hasn't been water consistently hitting it. So it wouldn't be from now to 12,000 years ago. It'd be from the last time there was water consistently hitting it 12,000 years back from that point.
Right.
But, even older.
It's wild to think about.
It's really wild. And one of the other ways they studied limestone was headstones.
Right.
Because they're dated. They're dated.
Dated headstone.
So they studied the erosion on headstones with rain. and wind. And it was like a millimeter over a certain amount of time. So there's multiple applications they do through the multiple studies that Ben does. And he works out in one of them, 12,000 years. The other one, 66,000 years. The other one, 80,000 years. It would take, but yeah, 12,000 years was the erosion on the stone. And remember, these stones were encased in granite.
Yes. And then there's a whole other part of this equation is you take where these stones are. Now, if you look at where they're standing, they're up on this plateau above the city. And they are looking over the top of the Sphinx head where this erosion was supposed to have taken place. So this isn't where water would be rushing because this is all the way up this long slope, right? So this look how high that erosion is, just like midpoint of the Sphinx's shoulder, right? You see that water erosion going there. Like, that's pretty high up.
Yeah.
So that amount of water erosion, where's that water, right? Now, there's this theory that if you look at the top of the pyramid right there, that arc where that erosion is, that, well, you can see like how the stuff at the top is a little different from the way down. So that little arc right there, there's a claim that these pyramids were underwater, and that line is actually waves breaking against and splashing out, and that's the way that was damaged.
Huh.
And I think that's an interesting theory. It's something that I don't know a lot about, but it's on my radar now, you know, because
the whole thing is encased in granite, right? The outside of the pyramids, and then there was gold on top, right?
Well, there's
supposedly
there's granite at the bottom, and it was like a polished limestone
on the outside. Okay,
so that made it like white. Okay. Ben talks about, I think it was either, I can't remember if it was the construction of the middle pyramid or the complex, but they dug down like 30 feet, or he might have said meters. I'm not sure. We're just gonna stick with 30 feet, Ben. If you're watching, I'm sorry, I'm fucking this all.
Big difference.
There is a huge difference between 30. I'm not that dumb, okay?
I'm just stating.
I'm just saying. I remember 30. That's all I remember. But they sloped up the complex. So they dug down and then they made a slope with their hands, I'm guessing. They dug with their little hands.
Yeah.
And they had stronger nails back then. So
we'll do a whole show on on the mounds here and like how much fucking dirt was moved. These are just like little mounds. It's insane amounts of dirt that they were supposedly digging up with like deer shoulder bones and shit. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Come on.
Well, and they had trucks load,
because it was a slope, dirt. Right? So they had to remove a lot of material.
A lot of earth.
And then they had to build a foundation strong enough to support that.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
well, the middle pyramid's what,
insane
6 million tons?
I have no idea.
My goodness,
huge vibrators. That's what they use, chat. Yep. That's it.
There it is.
But
vibrators.
I just want to
sold
shout
by
out
Jenna
to,
Jameson.
Shout out to Ben for with no fucks to give and just putting the Google calculator on his video.
Yeah,
I fucking love
just
that.
Just like tuna. It's so just good. Like
Windows so calculator. Good.
Like, I am here for the information. We're not going to give, like, that's fucking badass. I love it.
I love
it. I love it. He also, did you hear in the video? He's like, listen, I really appreciate, he's very appreciative of his following, and he should be. He's like, you guys support this. You know, I don't take any sponsors, and I know my videos are not going to get the kind of run that, you know, stupid reactionary content gets.
<I'm> like, feel personally attacked there?
Hey, man.
I love Ben. I love Ben. Can't wait to talk to him.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing all the work for us, Ben.
Thanks for doing all that work. Subscribe to Uncharted X.
Yeah. I'd love to go on a trip with you one day.
Yeah.
Be awesome.
Me too.
So this is a spectacular
video. 2 hours of every room open in the pyramid, every room unfettered access.
Yeah,
like, so you, dude,
so his the tours that he's a part of are like second to none. You get special access. Oh, this is the best part of the video. So they are in.
Oh, this is so cool.
So this is Old Kingdom.
This is one of the quote unquote tombs, which, you know, he makes fun of that too, because it's definitely not a tomb.
So what they talk about is that in this subscription, they talk about the building of the pyramids. That's what it was originally thought. But I think Yusuf is his name. Points out, no, it's the building of the pyramid city. The building of the pyramid city. So what they're insinuating is it was planned, by the way,
without math.
And they built around the pyramids that were already there, which makes them older.
And he points out this thing here. He's talking about settlers. It's the settlers that built.
It was
That's how they describe settlers.
The Kemet
of Catan.
They are the ones who built the pyramids. The Egyptians even wrote that they didn't do it. They talk about it. It was the people who came before the Kemet.
There you go.
There it is. Yeah,
that's the best.
Great video, Ben.
Well done.
I gotta watch it again because you know what I mean. It's one of those videos that is like, man, that was good. I gotta watch that again.
All this is evergreen content. Like his whole channel's great evergreen content. So
yeah, go watch it.
And it's he loves what he does.
We just summarized it probably poorly. Because of how great it was. So please,
and he was just a guy working in like IT, right? He was a computer guy. And I'm probably getting that wrong, but we talked a bit about it, and he just was interested in this stuff. Went down the rabbit hole, started doing his own investigation, and look at him now. You know, he's speaking at the Cosmic Summit, and that's what we need.
Yep. Almost half a million subscribers.
Great subject, and it still doesn't have which is good. It still doesn't have like a hub. Like there's UFO Twitter and UFOX, and I love it. I eat that shit up. I read it like all day yesterday before the meetup. I was just going through UFO Twitter and looking at videos and having a good old time. But there isn't like a hub website for this, and I kind of like that it's the Wild West and you have to kind of look for it. I hope it stays that way a little bit. You know, you follow Ben and it'll open up a lot of avenues for you. You'll find the Brothers of the Serpent. They're at the Cosmic Summit now, but they were always kind of connected. And I was watching all of these people beforehand. Like this is my jam. And again, to hear from everybody at the meetup last night that like, I'm really loving this Forbidden Frontier show. I'm like, I mean, we're still working it out. Like we're going to get better. We're going to get better. Yeah. Keep in mind, we're going to the green app soon.
The green app.
That's right. Yes. Greener pastures over on that other
green
app.
Because we will be able to, like, they've been hitting us. They've been demonetizing us for like nothing shows, like completely normal, benign shows. So we're going to go heavy in a lot of stuff that we've been kind of holding back on.
Oh, yeah.
On the green app. So that's why we're going there, and hopefully you'll follow us there. We'll also be on Spotify and everything else, and I'll even talk to the green app about, I think we discussed dual streaming for a little while so we can get people used to it going over there. Not sure how.
Maybe do like the first hour here.
Yeah, for a couple of shows, for a couple of shows, you know, and then maybe even do them on the main channel at some point. But there will be clips here on this channel. So we will be putting clips from the show here. We'll be doing videos here.
And quickly, just to let everyone know, we are just under 2,000 away from 100K on this channel. Please subscribe. It would be awesome. Please share and be like, go sub to this awesome Forbidden Frontier show. It's amazing.
Please. When that happens, this becomes the Forbidden Frontier channel.
And let's do it. I want it.
With your help, with our powers combined. Yes. Everyone, come on.
Get it in here.
Oh, wait.
Come on, Gary.
Yeah, there you go.
But we will also have
chat.
Merch.
You're in the middle, chat.
Oh, that's, yeah.
You got to now, chat, just pound the screen. Right. Don't actually hit your screen, but, you know, because then.
There you go.
Okay, here.
We just, summoned Captain Planet.
Now we pound the audience.
No, please. What?
Phrasing.
Nope, it was accurate. Pause.
No, nope, I'm not doing
Zorbu's
that.
Out there like, oh, right.
It's called
my time. My time is coming.
It's called fisting. Sorry. Is what you're saying, X-ray.
No, fist wow. bump. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, bump and grind.
Phrasing. So, okay.
I firmly believe that the system does want to repress information. I know they do. Yeah. Even information about our ancient past, because they want to completely control the narrative. That's it. That's all. And that's where there is a connection. And this is where the quote unquote truth seekers and the, you know, in the high strangeness field have always been rebels. That's why it's so disappointing to see some of them actually believe the government and what they say. But and that's where there's the connection with what we call out in pop culture, because there's narratives being built, they're being broken down, and there's people starting to question them because we can talk to each other more. I want to show you a video I found. It's from, I can't remember the name of the documentary. If I can remember, it's on Amazon Prime. I just watched it like a month ago or so. There's not enough documentaries because I could watch one every fucking day. There needs to be more.
Multiple times.
But this is Richard Dolan, who we are really simping to get on the show for the UFO part, because he's like legit. He's absolutely legit. So if anybody knows Richard Dolan out there, we really want to get him on the show. But I actually have the ability to share my screen today.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like frantically trying to figure out what you were trying to tell me subliminally what to share.
No.
But if you got it, good. Oh my gosh.
So we might even get hit from this, but it's worth listening to, because he talks about how UFO secrecy affected the American Republic. All right, I'll full screen this. We'll pause at times because
Wi-Fi has kind of talked about this multiple times over the past couple of months.
But this is here. Let me boost up that volume a little bit. All right, here we go.
You got a situation where the militaries of the world, and especially the United States military, learned about the reality of other beings that are here. That's what happened. Beings that aren't like us, that are advanced, right, in many ways, and in which they probably didn't really know the motivations. There's a lot of unknowns. So the start of the secrecy, it's not that difficult to understand, because first of all, the secret becomes profitable. Like, it becomes profitable and powerful.
Profitable. The secret becomes profitable. Now, can you even apply that to ancient civilizations? Yes, you can. Especially if you find out a little secret that they knew that advances some kind of technology today. Absolutely. 1,000%.
Or just owning the truth, right?
They do own the truth. Their version of it.
Right.
But you're right. You're right.
But you said this before, like, wouldn't we see it? Wouldn't we, if they were capable of some sort of advancement in technology, wouldn't they harness it and use it?
That would be my guess, unless they are so afraid of enemies getting it, or they are patient enough, the system is patient enough to go, people aren't ready for this yet, and petrodollar and all that other stuff. Our technology is what do they say? 10, 20 years ahead. Like, the military is always 10, 20 years ahead with their prototypes and stuff. So, but this is interesting.
Because you have knowledge and you have the future in your hands there. Because if you're studying the tech, you're studying these beings, you're learning things, it gives you advantages over your adversaries in the world, like all of that. Like, you're not going to want to stop that little gravy train. But also, the compartmentalization, the secrecy, I've said for years, like it's like one of many knives in the back of the old-fashioned American Republic.
Facts.
The American Republic was like, you know, like when Caesar was murdered by all the senators, they just got him. That's kind of what happened to the American Republic. Lots of knives in the back. Lots of them.
Over many years.
Many years.
One of them is UFO secrecy. And what it did is it created a series of what I call legal illegality, a series of laws that are not really legal. They're not really constitutional. If you got to pay for all of this research and development on this stuff, and you can't tell Congress about it, well, Congress is supposed to know about it, but they can't. So you're creating an extra constitutional system. And it's not difficult to justify, but it's still illegal. It's still it's still the destruction of this beautiful dream that was the American Republic. A beautiful dream.
Dude, you know? That is amazing. Summed up so well. Little like 1913, Jekyll's Island. Dude, the Fed, the creation, yep. the destruction of the American dollar, you know, the banking systems, like, bro. Another Small couple cuts. Knives, another couple knives in the backs of the American Republic. Crazy. Legal illegalities. That is such a good phrase. And that sums it up so well. Dude, this is an incredible speech. Yeah. Please.
I love continue. It. I love it.
And it's just like a knife in the back. And all the models that the United States turned on other nations in terms of color revolutions and so forth, which the United States intelligence community was absolute expert at. You know, you set up an NGO in Ukraine or in Kyrgyzstan or Bosnia or whatever, and you throw a couple of $1 billion and you just destroy the society. And then you create a revolution. Well, we're seeing that happening here. I mean, it's happening in the United States. Like our invention, our diabolical invention is being turned on ourselves now. You know, poetic justice in a way. But so I don't know. I mean, are we even able any longer? In an age where we're training an entire new generation to rely on Alexa and Google Echo for all of their answers, don't bother researching. Get your authoritative answer from Google/YouTube. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
The Atlantic Council over at Facebook. All of these groups that are guiding people into pre-masticated, pre-chewed solutions. We'll chew your food for you, baby bird. That's basically our world now. And so we're just continuing this process of taking the ability to make intelligent decisions away from people so they can't even figure this stuff out on their own. We always say, and I do say this, we want the truth. The problem with the truth is, I think the truth might be terrifying. And in our own lives, I think we actually don't really want truth. Like we tell ourselves that. But when you get into real truths, deep truths, whether it's about yourself or about things around you, those are very unsettling. So I think that there could be some unsettling truths. And that doesn't mean like we should all be afraid of the future. You can't avoid it.
Yep. I need you to send me that. I need that.
I retweeted it.
Applause on that one. Hit the applause on that. Dang.
Wow.
The whole time. Damn.
You know, and truths can be uncomfortable. He said it's unsettling, and people don't like being uncomfortable.
They usually are.
So society has been built up on comforts and conveniences. So we are so happy and blissful in our lives. We don't think about the uncomfortable lives that we would have if we had to actually work to survive, like creating food for ourselves. Right? Food is made for us. At farms, for the most part, in the Western societies, right? So, like, oh my goodness, there's so much to unpack from what he was just saying. That was incredible.
He was on point every single moment. Death by a thousand cuts is the American Republic, absolutely
amazing.
The way that we've coddled ourselves into this convenience world, and we allow that. That's, I think, a lot of people are really freaked out about AI because of that, because. You go, AI, what is this? What is XYZ? And AI's wrong, but it tells you very confidently.
Yep. And you believe it.
And you can believe it.
I know the truth now.
You believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the future that's the present we're in, and that's the future we're going to, is more of that convenience and more of that constantly lying to you and making you feel good, making you feel safe when you're not really safe.
And I want to bring it back to Luke now, Luke Caverns. It makes me think of his content, because a lot of the stuff that he's doing is he's taking what is being given as truth, right? Like, you know, this interview that Joe has with Billy Carson, right? He's going, all right, Billy states things as fact. The whole interview when he talks, these are the facts. You know, these are the things that this listen to this amazing fact, Joe. And Joe's like, wow, you know, cool. You know, because it's Joe Rogan. He's a fantastic interviewer, right? But Luke's like, I'm going to analyze this and go over it. I can't wait to actually watch Luke's version of this interview, because I know that he's going to actually break it down as if he needs to verify. You know, the trust but verify is like, that's what his content is. Fantastic stuff. Like, I love that. So, very, very intriguing.
Well, I think, well, the truth is, what we're finding out with the ancient civilizations is the truth is probably really frightening. And that can happen again in Fire from the Sky. They start out with like a guy sitting there going, oh, we're going to get hit by one. It's not if, it's when. It is, we are definitely going to get hit by one, but we just don't know when. And we can see it coming now. That's the big difference, is we can see it coming. And this documentary was made 30 years ago, and they talked to one astronomer who's like, yeah, I caught a meteor that if it had arrived 7 hours earlier, it would have wiped us out.
Lucky us.
And our civilization hangs by a thread. We're all electrical now, and you know, a lot of our transformers are not protected, and it would take years to rebuild our infrastructure. I think these are things we should think about. As far as the UFO phenomenon, we heard it from a couple of whistleblowers, whether you believe them or not. But like, Bob Lazar came out because he was scared. He was fucking scared shitless for his life. And he was also scared of the technology they were playing with, these all, because they could blow the hell out of fucking half of Nevada with the
he kind didn't do
of
it for money.
Yeah, well, he ain't making any money off it. He makes actual money off his science that he sell, and he also makes weird cars. But you know, and then the Bigelow Group at Skinwalker Ranch, when they bailed, right? They're just like, the only thing we know is this is far weirder than we thought it would be, and it's a little frightening. Like how powerless we are over it.
Well, that brings up someone else that is going to be there, Robert Schock, who I'm most excited to hear from. I mean, Randall Carlson, I've done so much so many hours of listening to Randall speak. He's fantastic. So of course I'm excited to hear from him. But Robert Schock is someone who I've only just started listening to his content, and from what I've heard of him, he's pretty accurate as far as what I'm coming around. SIDAR, I believe he calls it, right? Solar induced. What is this?
Death?
What does it stand for?
Destruction.
Something along those lines, but it's fantastic. So I can't wait to hear what he has to say, because a lot of his theories are about the micronova that we had Ben Davison on the show a month ago talking
about.
Somebody
came up to me at the show, Adam. Mm-hmm. It's like, I really love that guy who's mean to his chat.
Oh my god!
Do your homework. Yeah,
That's Ben. Yeah, he. Well, no. He's not mean. He's just cutthroat, right? There's a difference, right? He has zero patience for people that ask questions that you. If you just watch some of his content, like get into the hobby a little bit, all your answers are going to be all those questions will be answered already.
Set up for like little bite size snippets. It's
exactly.
It's a thesis.
Yeah. Right. So when he does a live stream, you know, he wants to talk to the people that have already established and have the base knowledge of what he talks about. So because he talks to his chat, like, you know, having discussions with them that are like really intellectual. So it's like someone comes in
at that level. Yeah.
So what's a micronova? It's just like, oh, my God, are you like, get the fuck out of my chat? It's like
he needs one video that he could just be like, go to that. Just this is the
he has them.
Hit that link.
He's got two fantastic videos that just break all of it down. It's they're already there. They're established. So,
all right.
Yeah.
We're going to get the
anyway
chats.
Oops.
Excited about Robert Schock. That's
I am too.
Like we're talking about right now. Now there's so many different types of alt history and alt science that's going to be at the Cosmic Summit. Robert Schock, Randall Carlson, Luke Caverns, all these different guys that have differing points of view in one spot. I love that about this conference, is you can have scientists.
Yep.
Diversity in thought. Yeah, exactly. And I love that. So I'm super
and
excited
civil discourse
for this.
About it.
And if you can't make it, there is a virtual pass.
In the description.
There's a virtual pass below. If you want it. I still have mine from last year, and I was watching it the other day, watching some of the Randall stuff we missed.
Wait, should we watch the trailer? Because they have a little 1 minute trailer.
Yeah, watch the trailer.
Yeah,
I watched.
By the way, welcome to members Darren N and Aaron Charman. Welcome, travelers.
Welcome, traveler.
Welcome, travelers.
Ooh, that was good.
Thank you.
A dawn of the new old age.
Heresy.
There's no sound.
Is a crime.
I don't even hear sound.
I hear it.
Orthodoxy.
Oh, okay.
A coffin.
I don't think it's playing smooth,
what
though,
if
unfortunately.
The story was based on something that was completely true.
If we're going to rock this weekend, we're going to have a tremendous intellectual festival. The most intensely curious audience in the world. And what does curiosity produce? It produces new information, and new information produces enlightenment. And that's where we're all heading, and you're at the absolute vanguard of that process. Do you want to explore suppressed ideas supported by hard published data? Then this is your home. Let's do this. And you are the cosmic sun.
We missed that picture. We were supposed to be in it.
I know, dude.
That's too bad.
This year we'll be in it. Check it out.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Let's go.
The hype is real.
The hype is real. Next week, more traveling. Woo. I'm gonna have to go fast too, because I have a thing on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
A thing. I got a thing.
A thing, huh?
Yeah, I got a thing.
It's got a thing. It's a very exciting thing.
Okay.
Quantum Sledgehammer for 20 says, just wanted to say how great it was seeing and speaking with you, Gary and QBG, at the Dallas meetup last night. Didn't get a chance to talk to X-Ray Girl. Well, she was too busy drinking. Okay. She was always surrounded by dozens of people. But thanks for giving your time. Thanks for being there. Thanks for giving your time.
Sorry, I didn't get to speak to you.
Shame on you, X-Ray Girl. Just kidding.
Shame on my family.
On your family. You disgrace your
family. Artery? Your artery? Your family artery?
Sandy Q for $20. I still love you all, even though you diss my vocation. There are many reasons archaeologists must leave things in situ. What's situ? Say you're smarter. There is much we leave in the ground. XOXO. Yeah, I mean, I understand that part, but there's a couple of things that they are reburying that I don't get. Like if you're going to go back and check it out and you need to preserve it and there's not enough funding or something like that, I get that. I do.
We're not shitting on archaeology as what it is. We're shitting on the archaeologists specifically that don't want to reevaluate new information that disproves what they were taught. That's that. When we're not shitting on your vocation, right? It's not a whole encompassing thing.
Absolutely. I respect archaeologists for that.
Yeah, of course, right? And you know, it's the people that are stubborn, like the dribble dude, the flint man, right? It's like those like stubborn this guy is a white supremacist because he's supporting, you know, whatever. And it's like he doesn't even actually have a conversation with Graham without just being hostile about it. You know, Graham wasn't being hostile, which is why Graham very clearly won that debate.
Because Graham won.
Oh, like, he shit on him, you know, perfectly. So, you know, and the dude was just getting flustered because he wasn't articulating it well.
You're probably one of the cool ones.
Right.
Yeah. But like, not sending your best by sending the dip.
Right.
The dip.
The dip.
The dip.
The dibbler.
I'd love for archaeology and, well, they would get more funding if they let go of this narrative a little bit and just said, okay, maybe it's within the realm of possibility. Always,
we should study it.
I would love
always be in any form of discipline. This is within the realm of possibility.
I'd love if they did delineate this. Go, hey, this is what we have facts for. This is what we believe is what happened. But it's possible there could be other answers, and we're still looking out there. Like that would be the greatest kind of attitude. But it seems to get the. This is what we have. This is the only answer. That's it. If you're not an archaeologist, you don't have any leg to stand on. You can't ask any questions. That's just kind of the vibe we get.
WG and Zorbu have each gifted 5 Nerdrotic memberships each for $25. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, WG.
Members.
Welcome, new travelers.
Yep. Welcome, new travelers. WG will see
and
you
only
soon.
WG.
For $25 from WG on the Streamlabs side. Didn't get a notification for tonight's show. YouTube is up to no damn good. Time to rumble on. Green app.
The green app.
Rumble on!
Rumble. Darren for $20 says, joined Nerd and X-Ray. Please keep fighting the fight. The voiceless are rooting for you. You have a voice, and thank you. Yeah. Cheers. Zorbu for $25. Stream website. The secret behind the Olmec statues, it's the face you make after getting probed, LOL. LOL.
What is that like?
There it is. Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
That's the face.
Wow. Garrett would know.
You would know the
I'm
face.
Just a good actor.
Garrett's like, what do I normally feel I like after Zorbu visits? And then he made that face, and there it is.
Another one.
Just a shameless plug for my upcoming comedy show at the Four Winds Bar in Atlanta City. Get a 10% discount using promo code Quarter Earthling. UFO cash crypto now accepted. There you go.
You're getting sued because you can't use my name. I didn't allow you to do that. So,
Well, does that apply? That's Earth Court you're talking about. You're gonna have to get Zorbu in the Earth Court.
Well, he's performing on Earth, so I'll see you in court.
See you in court, pal. Southeastern Kaiju for $20. Spent most of my life geeking on paleontology, dinosaur stuff, but now also fascinated in ancient civilizations, megalith content. Thanks for Forbidden Frontier and feeding my curiosity with great content. Hell, thanks for being here, Southeastern Kaiju. It's cool. It's the most wonderful rabbit hole. It is. I freaking love it.
I'm right there with him because I originally loved dinosaurs. Like as a kid, right? That was the thing that I loved was dinosaurs. I thought they were so cool. I remember getting in an argument with my preschool or not. No, it was my Sunday school teacher. I think I was like 5 years old and I had just gone to the museum with my school. Maybe I was like 7. I don't remember, but I saw the dinosaur bones and I was like, these are amazing. Like, wow, they were massive. You're like, as a kid, it was one of the most exciting things I had ever seen. And then I was talking about them and my Sunday school teacher was like, those are fake. The dinosaurs aren't real. And I was like, I don't believe a word you say now. And like, I just like wrote her off and she was so mad at me, but I'm like, nah, I'm going to choose dinosaurs over you, old woman. She was so mad at me. Yeah. She was an ornery old woman.
That's a ridiculous position to hold. I'm sorry.
Right. Toilet bug for $10. Garrett, you found Max. Sweet, bro. Now, if Gary can find the shirt I gave him in Vegas, I have them. They're in my closet.
He does. Prove it. You got to prove it or else you lost the shirt.
All right.
He didn't lose the shirt. He just doesn't know where it is.
Garrett, you lost it. You lost it, Garrett. Until you didn't.
Wait, I stole another epic it. Sunday, ladies.
Hail.
Welcome. Neil Horn for $9.99.
Okay.
Hail, everyone. I'm looking forward to both days next week. Be careful in your travels to Greensboro. I wish Adam could attend. I'll see you guys down there. I'll see you there.
I tried.
Yeah.
I'll see you up there.
I tried. Horn. I almost did. I'll just say that. Oh. I almost did.
Would you cover the Lake Michigan Triangle? Asked Jason J for $2. Yes. We could do like a whole triangle episode.
I think we talked about it, didn't we? We talked about it a little bit.
We just briefly talked about it.
Yeah,
we didn't do a full dedicated episode.
Juan Castle for $1.99. Krigley Man, send Andreas to investigate the Olmecs.
I bet he would go in a heartbeat.
He would.
Awesome.
But then
if he had the funding.
He'd never because
no, he's been lost in the jungles down there before.
Dude, I know. Like I can
him,
tell.
Him and Ian Crossland, they went on adventures down there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You could do that.
He had gone full native.
Let's just say like one times one equals two. All right. If you know what I'm saying.
Logan, leave it for $9.99. Hail. I fucking love this show. Thanks, Logan. Ken Burrows for 2 Canadian pesos. Did they use LIDAR and drones? They are. LIDAR is getting cheaper. Really expensive. That's Luke when he was on. He talked about how like stupidly expensive it is right now, but it's getting cheaper as the technology gets better. So within a few years, it'll be easier to LIDAR. They have the desert and the jungle, but it's a very small percentage. But there'll be a time, probably not far from now, that they'll be able to do the whole thing. Hunter Becknell for $10. Hello, Lord Krigler. Lord Krigler, according to Alex Jones.
Yeah. Alex Jones.
He said it.
He has dubbed me Lord Krigler.
I recently watched a WF video, Y-Files, by the way, talking about banned medical tech. AJ brought up the Rife machine that used frequencies to cure cancer. Yes, I've heard of that.
Yep.
This is what Terrence Howard was talking about.
Yep, the Rife machine. In fact, Andreas had the grandson. It might have been the son, actually, of the guy who created the Rife machine in the 40s. Something might adjust a little bit for, in inflation, internet inflation. Yeah. But I'm not exactly sure. But I know of the Rife machine, and it is really interesting about how it frequency can destroy certain cancer cells. Now, that's not really what Terrence was talking about. He was talking more about an elemental equation where each element has its like opposite on a spectrum of electromagnetism, if I recall correctly. It's a little different from what I understand of Rife technology, which is more of sending a certain frequency waves into a cell to break it apart. From what I remember, I haven't done a full dive into what a Rife machine, Rife technology is, and, but it is interesting.
The reason giving for suppressing this technology was what? The cancer industry.
It worked.
The cancer industry.
There's no money in cured patients.
No, there is not.
Yeah.
There is not.
Yeah. Orgone Energy. Right. Well, the original technology is ripe with conspiracies because, you know, he was trying to legally get orgone gas or something, which, you know, there's some people that say it never actually worked. And then there's some people that say that it did work, that they actually tried it themselves. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Rife is how you pronounce it, correct? Yeah, that's an interesting dive. In fact, I have the Killer Patients, Killer Patent and Secret Science Volume 2 loaded up. I haven't watched it yet. It came out 4 days ago. But I watched the first one. It was fantastic. So
did you post that in the Discord?
You want me to? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the new Y-Files that just came out. I'll post it up. There you go.
Excellent. Justin Martin for $10 says, there's a book, Lord Darcy, where magic worked, and as a result, we were still using horses. Same with these people. If they had high tech in one area, you would not develop others. Yep. Why would you need to? You can levitate shit. That takes care of a lot of problems.
That's true.
Or if you can move it with sound. The singing Tiggs for $5. Or if you just sit there, sit around and just get high as hell. I don't know. But you wouldn't build anything. If anybody has ever had a sub in their car, you know the power of frequency. The lower the hertz, the more things start to move. Sound can do crazy things. Yeah, my sub from my home theater. Holy shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't Flint Dibble a character in the Flintstones? Anthony Deandra for 5 Canadian pesos. Yes.
Yeah, he was the rug when you walked into the bathroom.
He's like, ew.
Snakehead 4 for $9.99. I was watching on YouTube video where they mentioned people writing about seeing a fourth great pyramid in Egypt. Do you guys know anything about that, if it's true or not? No.
Oh.
What? No. I know about the possible second Sphinx, but not the fourth great pyramid. Toxic Man Flu for $10 at the range, exercising my Second Amendment rights and listening to Forbidden Frontier. It's a good day to be alive. Hail, brother.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Don't miss. Like Alec Baldwin's finger. Days to come on the Streamlabs side for $1. The pyramids were built during the time of Noah. Only the watchers knew the placement of the stars in which the pyramids are aligned with, for the stars are the heavens above. As above, so below. Hung Lo the Chinaman for $10 says, I just want to say thank you all for everything you guys do and the videos you all make. And could you guys do a triangle episode? Would like to hear about the Bermuda myself. Hail. Yes.
That's the second reference. We need to do it now.
And there's a few. There's one in China too, right? There's there's like a China triangle. And then there's a weird connection with all of their locations.
All triangles? Their
triangle between
all of them. Yeah.
Triangle of triangles.
Yeah. No, I don't know if it's a triangle, but they're related. Something. I don't remember what it was, but
Mark Shaw Alaska? Says I love Forbidden Frontier. We'll miss it when it moves to Rumble. You can go to Rumble and watch it.
What do you mean?
It's free.
Use our referral code, which we'll get. We'll
link on YouTube as right? well. So anytime we do the show, you still have a way to get a notification, hopefully on this side, if it sends out the notification.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'll post in the community notes that we're like.
Then still, if they get the notification.
Right.
Just saying.
Thanks, just saying. Mark. A normie asked for $5. You gonna y'all gonna boon David Weiss or Austin from how do I say this?
What's it gets it?
What's it gets it? It says Wits It Gets It, though.
Or maybe it's Wits It Gets It. I don't know.
Wits It Gets It. Would love to see that podcast. Sure. We'll talk to anybody. We love guests here. Crypto Kev for $5. Only 1.6 until 1,600 till 100,000 subs. Time for Forbidden Frontier backpacks. Let's go. All right, man. Yeah.
Hey, we're so close.
We
subscribe.
Have a lot of plans for merch. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Kidding. Little Zorbu with a little quarter black doll. It's gonna be great.
Or should he have like a little probe?
Wow.
Of course.
Okay.
Eric Hayes offered to help.
Zips open and you can store
stuff. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like a prison wallet.
Not associated.
Yes. A little prison wallet.
Oh yeah, Forbidden Frontier probing pants.
Yeah. Oh my god. Easy access.
Garrett always wears them, so.
Yeah. Eric K for $2 is being very helpful. He said, 1,600 away. I will unsub and sub again. You're welcome, Gary. Thank you, Eric.
Well, thank you.
Snakehead 4.
Lord's work.
Lord's work there. For $4.99. I wonder how many places are like Skinwalker Ranch but haven't been studied yet. Well, they do the Beyond the Skinwalker Ranch show, which I think starts this week because they skipped a week. Did you notice that? They skipped a week. That's why we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
So I think it starts back up next week, and then the
Weird I miss it when it's gone now? I was like,
no,
kinda, it's got you, bro.
It does. They started digging, and I'm like, all right,
they're actually doing stuff.
That's 2 weeks without the Mesa.
We're going under the Mesa.
The Mystic Trader for $2. The real, for real though, look into Nassim Haramein. Okay,
Nassim Haramein.
I probably said that wrong. Haramein? Main? Nassim Haramein.
Hey, man. Hey,
is there more? Is there more to that, or is that just...
That's it.
That's it.
That was
it. Let me...
I'll look up the name.
Look up the name. You look up the name. Woodymon for $2. A hospital in California uses Soundwave machine for cancer. So there is one that uses...
That's awesome.
It is. Eric K for $2. Stream to Twitter X also. It's going to be, well, we can next week.
Exclusive.
But it's going to be Rumble exclusive for video. But the clips and videos will go here, and we will start making videos. So that's going to happen. That's going to happen. That's why we want to change it to a channel. And
dedication.
I'll go ghost hunting once when we hit 100. You know how much I don't want to.
We got to go into some ancient site and ghost hunt there. Come on.
There's a hotel in San Antonio that...
But is that Forbidden Frontier, though?
Yeah.
Are you... It is? A ghost hotel? Hunt?
Yeah, a hotel. But oh, yeah. The ghost stuff, right? The ghost,
oh, yeah, okay.
Ghost. What about the ghost? Oh, you know? Oh yeah. Oh,
wow, her Canadian came out.
Whoa.
Wow.
I didn't mean
I've never heard the Canadia in you.
The Canadia?
Yeah, I just said that.
Where's
I know.
Your toque and your flannel? Where's the back bacon?
It's too hot to wear flannel right now.
Yeah, it was only 100 today.
Only 100.
Down to 96 right now. Good.
Oh my god.
Down to 96. All right.
Sorry, Mr. J saw my ghost video. It was great. He said, "Don't send out him. Though. He'll scare him with his farts again." It was one fart.
Oh, there was one more super chat.
Go for it. You read it.
Oh, okay. Church Jack Zed for $4.99. Hail and see ya on. The green app, and then we also have Presidential Coca for $4.99. The last place you want to go to cure cancer is California. Okay,
you might get more cancer.
You'll get cancer
or stabbed. I mean,
or
robbed.
Needle. Yeah.
So
I fear for my one friend in California. Call, get out, yeah.
Bro.
Get out. Call. Go to Texas.
Come to Texas, bro.
It's beautiful here, honestly. Everyone's so nice.
I thought he was going to make the move.
100 degrees outside. But you can be
no,
inside.
No, I actually like air conditioning. Sometimes, you know.
Oh, man, it was gorgeous today. It rained, and then it was sunny. And then it rained again, and then it was blue sky, no clouds. And then it rained again, and then it was sunny. I'm not joking. That was today. So weird.
It's like Camelot, man. Well, it rains at night,
just
though.
Tears. Tears. Rain. I thought you were talking about the streamer Camelot.
No, the real Camelot.
Just tears and then talk about it.
Wait, Camelot then... cries like the city.
Oh my god!
It's his thumbnail. What am I doing? It's that's a video. Place. That's a save cry. Chat. Never mind.
Help right. me, chat.
I'm so sorry. Well, sorry, eh?
Camelot's a silly place. You don't want to go there.
Camelot's a silly place.
Yeah.
I also have another one here. Matthew Hammond for $4.99. I want extra girl to go to the asylum in the abandoned Canadian town where they sent children with TB. There are tunnels to the house.
Yes, yes. That's where she needs to go.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Because of how much she said no, that has to happen now.
Yeah, I got a camera.
100K. Send her to the asylum, the TB asylum.
Oh,
and you know what? We got to get her one of those like electromagnetic.
We got a bro.
The white noise machines.
We should do a GoPro on my face and one on my face and a little
EVP like really close where you're like
so you can see the
Blair on your nose, Blair Witch style, you know?
Blair Witch, yep.
Yeah.
All right.
X Witch girl.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. I got another stream to do in about a half an hour.
Oh, that's right.
I've been told
Ryan. Look at this. Perfect. 2 hours. I'm loving it. We're done.
I'm impressed.
What?
Wait till next
I could
week.
Sleep. What a good aperitif. All right. That was that was delicious. Can't wait for the main meal.
Perfect. What a plethora.
Ryan and I are going to discuss House of the Dragon season 2. We're going to get into we're going to spoil the whole thing.
Wait, is it out? Did it come out?
A week from today.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. Okay.
A week.
You're going to spoil. Are you going to spoil some shit?
Yeah.
Do you know something?
I read the books.
Wow.
You're
so enlightened.
I feel so enlightened that I.
Can I have this secret tome?
Yeah.
You know the secret text you have read?
It's at Barnes and Noble, the city there of Barnes and Noble.
There are many books.
What is this magic? Amazing.
Massive animes or manga sections
it
and
is growing every
finals.
Day.
Yeah.
You're a wizard, Gary.
Yes. Ah. So we're going to discuss probably the first half of the first season because I don't know where they're going to end the season. But it's going to be a lot of theories because that really the season is a couple of it's a couple of chapters that are.
Was the weird foot shit in the book? Or did they just throw that in there?
That was in there.
It was
that
in
was
the
not
book.
In the book. No, it was just in the
It was
show.
Not in the book. It's some weird person HBO that was like, hey, you know what? We need some feet things.
Let's normalize it. It's probably a dribble.
Laura Strong is a mysterious character that they can add a lot to. And we're going to discuss, okay, we're going to discuss him a lot, actually, because he plays a big part in season two. So the foot stuff. Right. Yeah, the weird foot stuff where he's jacking it to her, like giving herself a foot massage.
So weird. Yeah.
Yeah, they probably just took that straight from Hollywood, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm thinking, you know? One of them Hollywood dribbles, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So we're going to do that soon, about a half an hour or so. So what do you got coming up, Garrett?
Normal World, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with Dave Landau. I might have to be dipping out on the show because I'm going to be traveling to go to Cosmic Summit. But you could still watch. You could watch anyways. And then tomorrow, Bay Staff Monday on Adam Krigler's channel with the crew. It's always funny. Last time we had freaking Alex Jones on. It was wild. It was a wild episode. So go watch that in the meantime.
Was that planned that he was going to come
no.
on?
No, 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 not at all.
No, he was taking a nap and I had a guest from that was in InfoWars, Chase Geyser. Hilarious dude. Just him alone was a fantastic stream. Such a fun stream. But then Alex walks in the studio and Chase is like, Alex, come sit down and say hi to my friends here. And he goes, oh, Lord Krigler? And I'm like, did Alex Jones just call me Lord Krigler? And he's like, yeah, give me a mic. And then he sits down and just talks to us for 20 minutes about what he's going through. He's like, all right, I got to go. I was like, holy shit, that was Alex Jones on my show. It was the first time I was ever nervous on my show. Because I was prepared to talk to Alex Jones and he sat there and said, is there anything else you want to ask me? Yeah. And I was like, fuck, I'm the host. I wasn't prepared. No, I think it went fantastic though. So it was awesome. It was really
cool. You never know what's going to happen on a Bay Staff. So you got to show up every single time. It's a lot of fun.
It's a wild show.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So you got that show code. Hi, Adam. Is there anything else?
My show is Bay Staff Mondays. It's every Monday night. And last, I don't know if you heard, but last Bay Staff Monday, we had Alex Jones on a show. It was wild. And then, but I'm doing my daily show. It's freaking awesome. And I'm just doing daily events again, just talking about the stuff that's going on. I've been having interviews with random people again, just bringing people on just to talk about life and stuff. I really like that kind of, you know, one-on-one, having conversations about important things or not important things, silly things, whatever just happens to come up or whatever. And then Friday nights, I've been having jam sessions where I just play my own songs. And I think I had 150 people watching last Friday, which was freaking awesome. So yeah, come if you want to listen to my music. I play these guitars behind me. Well, actually, I play one of the guitars. The other one I don't really play, but doesn't matter. Yeah, come on by. Thanks.
Come on by.
Yeah, watch him come hang out. After Friday Night Tights, come to Friday Night Jams. Tights.
X-ray girl.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm going to be around.
Are you feeling okay? Should we talk a little softly?
Did you drink water?
Nice. Am I quiet?
No, I'm asking if you're hungover. Okay.
You're so loud.
Am I actually loud? I'm so sorry.
No, you're not.
No.
There was. Did you hear the Canadian?
There was again.
There was. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. Whatever. I'm nice. I apologize.
Oh, look at this.
I
didn't have it set for record. Hang on. Sorry. Quiet woman. Jim Baldry for $4.99 said first episode of Beyond Skinwalker Ranch aired last Tuesday. That's why they skipped it. I worked on the show and look forward to your take. Dude, I'm watching it tonight. Tonight. I have something to watch.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Wait, Beyond Skinwalker, is that also on History or is it?
Yeah
it's something else.
It's a companion show. It's kind of like
okay.
Cool.
Mm. Okay. You worked on it. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Thanks, Jim. We will take a look at it and give you our honest opinion. Woke garbage. No, just kidding.
Put a chick at it.
Is it called Beyond Skinwalker Ranch?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
I forgot to set it to record, but I'll find an episode. We'll find an episode. Barry.
Got it.
Sorry.
I can send it to you. I think you can watch it on the History Channel website.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. X-ray girl.
Matthew Heyman 499. The name of the asylum in Canada is Kamloops Tranquil Sanatorium, and that is very far away from where I live. So I also have to.
Worth it though. Okay. It's worth it.
I'm planning a trip.
We'll do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so, we'll do it. Don't worry about that. X-ray. Yeah.
We can maybe do that. Sorry, that is Remy. Remy is.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. He's cute. He can do what he wants. It's fine.
I'm gonna be around. I had no planned streams. Although Kara and I want to hop in the pool, and that's
okay.
It. That's
calm
it.
Down.
You guys calm down. You guys are talking about putting a something pocket and pants for Zorbu what? And a stuffed.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
What are you?
You, I don't even know you what don't think that both you and a pool would sell just like that plushie? Both of them are going to sell.
Maybe
all right.
We hotcakes. Just do both. At
telling
the same
you.
Time.
I'm telling you.
Whatever.
Both all of right? them. Oh my gosh.
X-ray holding the plushie in the pool. That's the commercial.
Yes. Okay. There you go.
Out of the pool with just it.
In slow mo, just come up out of the water with the plushie.
Like a Garrett.
Yeah. Well, film it in reverse. So when you come out of the water, it's like okay. Fully dry.
This is Gary doing the outro music. Like everyone, shut up. We gotta.
Oh no. Gotta this go. Is.
Oh, is this the commercial? This is the commercial music.
Oh, yeah. This is background music that's on stream.
I don't know.
It's called Feeding the Ducks.
Get the this Zorbu feels a little. Now, you too can have your own little quarter blank.
This is what Zorbu wallet. Plays when he picks Garrett up. That's the vibe I'm getting.
I start hearing it in the distance. It's playing in my head because he's playing it like.
Garrett suddenly gets diarrhea.
Oh, no.
Oh, we went there.
Right. I'm sorry. Cleaning so the bad.
We're gonna end this.
So bad.
Lord Krigler is getting delirious.
Come on, that was funny. That was funny.
I am gonna do a with Ryan a little. You know, it's not gonna be super long, but fuck it. We're gonna do it on the main channel. Screw it. We're doing it on the main channel. And
dope.
It's a House of the Dragon season 2 preview. So please join us there in about a half an hour from now. And hopefully you like it. Or you can watch X-Ray Girl stream in a pool.
No, and do whatever not doing it is. That today.
Oh, you're not? So you're going to stream without streaming? Don't stream in my pool.
No, ew.
That wasn't the plan.
Okay. No, you're delirious.
I literally said I didn't want to go in the pool today.
Only I could stream in my pool.
Ew, don't do that. Don't tell me you do that either.
Are you gonna stream in the pool or into the pool?
Why not
location.
Both?
All location,
right.
Location, wow. Location.
Thanks to the Mod Roddicks. Thanks to everyone who left super chat and donation to help keep the lights on. We apologize. YouTube just was kind of lame with us a little bit, so that's why we got to go to Green App for this show. Yeah. But hopefully you enjoy it. And we'll be back here, though, next week.
Next week
from Cosmic Summit.
Right.
I can't wait.
Stuff. Lots of extra stuff. So thanks, everyone. We appreciate you. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Nerderotic.com.
Welcome, travelers, to the fringes of reality, where the strange and mysterious meet, and the thin veil between fact and fiction is torn. Welcome to the Forbidden Frontier.